Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Our scripture lesson this Easter morning comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, starting with verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." He also said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You pray with me. Eternal and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, and may the meditation and the inspiration in all of our hearts and thoughts this morning be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we get started, the theme of my message for the morning is on beyond Omega. Before we get started, we need to kind of get clear on terminology. Omega. Omega is a Greek symbol. Many of you know. Omega is to the Greek alphabet what Z is to the English or Latin alphabet. In Greek, alpha to omega, and in English, A to Z. Now, once we've got that down, we can move on. On beyond omega. It was the first day of the week. It was an early dawn. That's when the women came to the tomb. Luke really wants us to know it's the first day of the week. It's not Sabbath. It's not the middle of the week. It is the first day of the week. It is the first day of creation. I think what Luke really wants us to know, it is the first day of the new creation. It is dawn of the first day of the new creation. Many of the ancient church fathers would call this the eighth day. That day when all things were becoming new. That first day of the week in the early dawn. They came to the tomb. When they got there, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they went in, it was empty. There was no body. Looking perplexed, Luke tells us, and it's kind of an interesting way he tells it. It's as if they're looking into the tomb by themselves. It's empty. And the next thing they know, two men are standing next to them in dazzling clothes. And they say, "So why are you looking for the living among the dead?" One of the men goes on to explain, "Well, he's been telling you this all along. Several times he told you and the disciples all along that when they came to Jerusalem, he will be taken by sinners and he will be crucified. And then he said on the third day he will rise. He told you that several times. Well, the women all went back to the apostles, the 11 apostles who were left, but all of the entourage of Jesus' gathering and disciples, and told them the story of what they discovered when they went to the tomb. And it seemed to them an idle tale. Seemed to them nonsense. There are so many in this world today who believe it still is nonsense, an idle tale. It is simply one of those myths. Every culture has had this myth all along from the beginning. Anthropologists and mythologists have always said every culture, particularly agricultural cultures, have this myth of the dying and resurrecting God. The Egyptians had it. The Mesopotamians had one. The Greeks had their mystery religions of the dying God who rises. The Scandinavians had one. They all have one. Every culture has their resurrection, dying God myth. Even Jesus said, doesn't the grain of wheat must fall into the ground and die in order for it to rise and bear fruit? C.S. Lewis believed that myth. Christianity was just another idle tale, just another myth of a dying and resurrecting God. He believed that until the day his friend, J.R.R. Tolkien, put him aside and said, Jack. Called him Jack. Jack. Listen. I'm every bit as much a mythologist as you are. I know all of the great myths. And I, like you, know that every culture had a dying God myth. But listen to me, Jack. This one is for real. This one is a fact. In any of those others, Jack, can you find a place, a specific time, specific witnesses? Is there? Jack, this one took place in real time, in a very specific historical setting. Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea. Herod Agrippa was the Jewish leader. Tiberius was the Caesar of Rome. This took place in a specific time with specific people in a specific historical context. There were witnesses whose stories are obviously not coordinated. They all saw what they saw, but what they saw was it was real. Jack, this may be a myth, but it is a fact. At that moment, C.S. Lewis's brain got rewired. He was converted to become one of the most important Christian apologists of the 20th century. Both of these men, C.S. Lewis, J.R.R. Tolkien, are one of the greatest literary imaginations of the 20th century. Yet both were convinced and convicted that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is real. When I was in second grade, Mrs. Lewis read this story. You familiar with this story? On Beyond Zebra? It's one of the greatest pieces of literature ever written. By one of the greatest poets who ever lived. Dr. Seuss, of course. Said Conrad Cornelius O'Donnell O'Dell, my very young friend who is learning to spell, the A is for ape and the B is for bear, the C is for camel, the H is for hare, and the M is for mouse and the R is for rat. I know all the 26 letters like that. Through to Z is for zebra. I know them all well, said Conrad Cornelius O'Donnell O'Dell. So now I know everything anyone knows, from beginning to end, from the start to the close, because Z is as far as the alphabet goes. Then he almost fell flat on his face on the floor when I picked up the chalk and I drew one letter more. The letter he never had dreamed of before. And I said, you can stop if you want with the Z, because most people stop with the Z, but not me. In the places I go, there are things that I see that I never could spell if I stopped with the Z. I'm telling you this because you're one of my friends. My alphabet starts where your alphabet ends. So we move from one great poet to another great poet. What we call the beginning is often the end. And to make an ending is to make a beginning. The end is where we start from. Now this came to my mind 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was on a Monday night when we were having our alpha, kind of interesting, alpha class, Monday night here in this room. And that particular night, the study was on healing. Dina was gave us the talk on how God heals. And our little discussion group over here, it was Carol Ann and Julie and Bob Urosevich. And we were having a discussion related to the topic of healing. In the middle of our conversation and discussion, Carol Ann shared with us an experience of her own. She is a cancer survivor. She was telling us of a time when someone came up to her and said face to face, point blank, why did you live and my cousin die when you both had the same cancer? Now that stopped the conversation. All of us had to pause and stop. What do you say? How do you answer a question like that? Now, her immediate response was, and I agreed with her, that's probably would have been my immediate response too, was, I guess I was lucky. But we both realized we wish we, you know, there was, what else could we say? Pondering this myself became the seed for my message today. And that is, all of us, we all experience endings all the time. To be human is to experience endings. Every day ends and a new day dawns. Some endings are just routine. We're used to them. We go through We go through our life, and there are natural occasions in life where things end and new things begin. Then there are those times in our life when the ending is unexpected and devastating and tragic. What do? In those endings. In my experience, there are some who can never get over an ending that is devastating and tragic. But there are those who do. Somehow, some way, in time. And if you look closely, it has to do with faith. It has to do with a resurrection faith. That somehow, some way, God will make things new. There will be a new beginning in its own way and in its own time. Well, I've talked about two great poets, Dr. Seuss, T.S. Eliot. How about this great poet, God? I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give the water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. When I worked for the Boy Scouts of America many years ago, there was a man who worked for the national office that I became very good friends with. He was very influential in my life. His name is Julian Dyke. Julian worked in the national office. He was national director of membership relations, and his job was to travel the country and form national relationships with partners, United Methodist Church, Baptist conventions, Rotary clubs, other organizations that have to do with sponsoring scout troops. Before Julian Dyke went to work for the Boy Scouts, he was a national director for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I remember him telling this story that continues to have an impact on my life. Since he traveled a great deal, any time that he would go to the East Coast, he would always call up his mother because he was from Baltimore, and he would find time to go see his mother and his 97th-year-old grandmother. On this particular occasion, he called up his mother, and they arranged to have lunch together. He picked her up, and they went to a restaurant. In the middle of their conversation in the restaurant, a group of young, good-looking, well-groomed, power-suited executives get up and leave the restaurant, but not until his eyes focus on one particular man who he recognized from high school. They played football together, and they, Bill. And so they looked and they connected They were both busy, so they agreed to meet the next morning for breakfast. And so the next morning, they're together in the restaurant for breakfast. And Bill begins to tell his story. And he says, right after high school, they haven't seen each other since high school. Right after high school, I went to work for the sugar refinery. And I married my high school sweetheart. And evidently the company thought I, you know, had great potential, and so they let me take night courses in college. Eventually, we had our first son. And I worked really hard going to school and making the grades and working hard during the day. We lived in a small apartment, and it wasn't long after that till we had... She was pregnant again, and this time the pregnancy was a little more difficult. And soon she gave birth to our daughter, But the birth was very complicated. And following that, she had to have serious surgery. During all that time, I took the children and we moved into my parents' house. 8 months later, she died. And I knew it was time to have to get our life come back together as best we could. And so I took the kids and we went back to the apartment. And that first night, I remember we stayed up way too late watching television, eating a TV dinner. Eventually, the little girl fell asleep and took her to bed. And my son turned to me and said, "Dad, tonight, just tonight, can I sleep with you?" "Okay, son." So we're lying in bed. Neither one of us can sleep. It's dark. And then my son's little voice speaks up in the darkness and says, "Dad, are you looking at me?" "Yes, son, I'm looking at you." "Okay." And he goes to sleep. And I can't tell you how alone I felt at that moment. And then I looked out the window and I said, "God, oh God, if you are out there and you are looking at me, I can make it." Julian said at that moment, the whole restaurant was still. They looked around and everybody was watching. And then he said, "Bill, where did you get that power?" And Bill said, "You know where I got it. You were there. I got it in Sunday school. I got it at Sunday night youth group. I got it at summer camp." And I never forgot it. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and see, I am alive forever and forever. Blessed, beloved, all of you who hold the seed to resurrection power in your heart, who claim the faith of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, we are going with God. We are not bound in time and space, because God creates and continues to create and recreate and resurrects. You and I are going on beyond Omega. Thanks be to God. Amen."
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for our celebration services, an uplifting mix of contemporary and traditional worship styles, as we open our hearts to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.